Well, we will hop into scripture then. So she brought up the conference, which today's message is going to piggyback off of the conference a little bit, because I got challenged pretty hard at the conference. Did anyone else get challenged? So there was a part in the conference, he was talking about the joy of the Lord, where he had us partner up and just laugh at each other. Like practicing laughing. And that was difficult. Just trying to laugh whenever you don't really want to. And I actually finally got it because I looked at her and I said, I bet Jared's about to puke right now. And then Ashley just like, ah! So she figured out how to laugh. But he made some points about joy. He made some points that God is always happy, that God's always in a good mood, that we should always be happy. And Jared and I talked about it the other day. And I thought it'd be good to dive into the emotions of Jesus today and then hit on joy at the end of it. Because is it possible to always be happy? I don't know. So let's look at how Jesus, what happened when he went through life, the things that he experienced. One of the things, I'm going to end on joy, by the way, so we will get to joy. But we're going to start on some other areas, like he felt abandoned and betrayed. In Luke 22:57-61, Peter denied Jesus three times. He was so close to Jesus that after he did it, the Lord turned and looked at Peter after he denied him the third time. And Peter remembered that he said, before the rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times. And then Peter went out and wept bitterly. Was Jesus joyful then? Now, imagine you spent 3 years with somebody all day, every day. There are very few people we spend 3 years with all day, every day. And then that person pretends they don't know you and they're right next to you within earshot of you. That happened. So the first point of this is Jesus felt rejection and betrayal. It's okay for you to feel rejection and betrayal sometimes too. Betrayal. Luke 22:42-44. Tell me what he felt here. Jesus said, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. What do you think Jesus was feeling there? Anxiety. How many of you have felt anxiety? Now, how many of you, what's really interesting here is even after the angel strengthened him, he sweat drops of blood. Have y'all ever caught that? He was anxious, so anxious. And then an angel came and helped him, and despite the help, he sweat drops of blood. Have you ever been that anxious? Is that unreal or what? Oh my gosh. I wonder what would have happened to his body had an angel not supported him. So Jesus has felt betrayal. He's felt extreme anxiety. So if you felt anxiety, so did Jesus. So if you had trouble laughing, that's okay. Jesus had trouble laughing in that time also. Mark 9:14-24. Sorry, I'm doing like shotgun scriptures today. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed, ran up to him and greeted him. And he said to them, "What are you arguing about?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. And he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out. And they were not able." And then he answered them, "Oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately convulsed, the boy And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening? And his dad said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that, a crowd came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, said to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. Okay, what did Jesus experience in this?
Annoyed.
He started off, he was mad, he was frustrated, he was annoyed. He came up there, so the disciples were down there trying to cast this demon out of the boy. And instead of casting it out, he came up and they're arguing. Do you see that? That's what Jesus walks up to, a group of people arguing. And he's like, oh my, oh. He said, you faithless generation, how long do I have to be with you? I thought about saying that to my kids. Then the dad is like, hey, if you can do anything, can you help us? And Jesus said, it's in quotations, Jesus said, if you can. Like, if you can. Jesus is like, yeah. Actually, I was listening to 2 Corinthians on audiobook yesterday, and I busted out laughing because of how sarcastic Paul was. We're going to have a sarcasm message one of these days. But Jesus is like, if you can, oh my gosh, come on. All things are possible for one who believes. And the dude's like, okay, I believe. And Jesus is like, boom, get out of here. Have any of you ever been frustrated?
Yes.
Or angry?
Yes.
Or even been like, did you really just ask me that?
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I've done it with Ashley. What are we doing today? What are we doing today? Check your calendar. I've told you 72 times. I'm like,
amen.
It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
Did I get annoyed or you?
You were in this story.
It was valid.
Okay, John 2:13. The Passover of the Jews was at hand. Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen, sheep, pigeons, money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers, and he overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these away. Or take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered, as it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. So do y'all know what Jesus did? What emotion was that?
Anger.
Oh, gosh.
Was he kind and quiet?
Yeah.
Do you know what he said he did? Jared knew it was coming. He was already looking. Guys, he was so mad, he flipped tables. Do you think he was laughing when he did that? Do you know that he had to make the whip?
That's what always interested me. Like, it was methodical. Like, it wasn't an impulse anger. It was like, I'm going to push him over this for 20 minutes. And
yeah.
Oh, here, 3 days.
Okay. 3 days. According to our resident Hebrew scholar. It takes 3 days.
Sat for 3 days watching him break a whip.
So yesterday at the house, I have a swing that dry rotted, and I took paracord, and I back there.
3 days could have been the time it needed for Jesus to deal with his anger without sinning.
True. Wow. That's good.
I took
being sinner.
Yeah,
seriously.
I took P-cord and I rewove these seats that had dry rotted, and it took me per section like 30 minutes at least. I was not making a whip. It was very simple. So for him to go and braid a whip together 3 days is probably not
unreasonable.
And his disciples are probably like, what are you doing? And then he goes, slams tables over, drives people out with whip. Now, do you think he was laughing then?
No.
I don't know, probably not.
Maybe maniacally.
Have any of you ever been angry? Have any of you ever been angry?
Yeah.
Just once. Yeah, that's true. I've never been angry.
Yeah.
More than once a minute. That's too much. Jesus was angry. Okay. John 11, 33. This one gets me. This one really does get me. Saddened by the death of Lazarus. When Jesus saw her weeping, so Lazarus has already been, he's already died at this point. He's talking to his sisters. And when he saw his sister, Lazarus' sister weeping, the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid them?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And then we have the shortest scripture in the Bible. Jesus wept. And so the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" You know, Jesus actually wasn't crying for Lazarus. He knew Lazarus was about to be raised. Do you know why Jesus was crying? Because of the pain of those around him. He loved them so much. He loved what they were going through. He felt terrible. They called, like, they asked him to come earlier, and he didn't, because the Lord didn't release him to come yet. And so Lazarus was dead for a while. They were all in mourning, and Jesus cried because he was so sad because of what they were going through. He was not laughing then. How many of you have ever cried? Once. Oh, man. As I've gotten older, I cry more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Commercials. Some commercials. I'm not even kidding. Oh, Ashley cries about cats every day.
I just love them all.
Sorry, for our trip down to Tifton, Ashley left her phone in the car, and I grabbed her phone, and I texted everyone as Ashley and said, "I'm just ugly crying right now because I love cats so much." And so...
And people were really concerned for me. I was like, man, y'all need to take a lesson with Jonathan and Ashley's humor. Funny.
So anyways, Ashley has left her phone unattended in the past week, and she's happened to text everyone again and tell them about how she's crying about cats.
I just want them all to have.
So Jesus was crying. He wasn't laughing. You hate cats. Is this going to be our first, what is it when you banish someone from the church? Two. No.
Excommunication.
Oh, yeah, that's our first excommunication.
They need deliverance.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Okay. John 15, 9 through 17. Oh man, I'm just going to read 9. "As his Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now, there are a ton of times throughout Scripture we see Jesus loving. Just like, oh, how many of you remember your first date or your second or your third? And you just go, oh. Or you finally pet that cat. Oh. That's a different feeling than just straight up laughing, right?
Yeah.
Not laughter candy type here, but it's just, yeah. Jesus, he said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." He's saying live in my love, like be in it, be in my love. That's pretty cool. So we'll get to joy. Now, in Luke 10, verse 21, "In that same hour he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will.'" When he said rejoiced, that Greek word is agaliaho, which is to exult, rejoice exceedingly, be exceedingly glad. In some translations, it says he was filled with joy. That word agaliaho is exceeding, rejoice exceeding, exult, to be exceedingly glad. Do y'all know what that means? It's like when Ashley was laughing so hard that she got called out in front of the whole church and asked to go laugh with someone over here. She was loud. Have you ever been to a football game?
Yeah.
Now, have you ever seen them score a touchdown? Have you ever been in the fourth quarter of a football game and you're down by a touchdown, then they score the touchdown, then they go for two, and then they win the game? What happens?
You rejoice.
Agaleaho. You're screaming, you're running around, you're like, whoa! Have y'all ever seen a touchdown dance before?
Yes.
Ashley, would you like to show us a touchdown dance?
I think since you played football, you should show us what
that was. There was no showboating when I played football. Eric, do you know a touchdown dance? Okay, you know the, like, when I was growing up, it was called the Dirty Bird. Whenever the Falcons, it was like.
One more time.
Y'all.
My mom got so happy when we beat Tennessee, she fell with a man in front of her.
Now, first of all.
She was sober.
Her mom.
And my mom is like,
is quiet. Yeah.
Like, prim and proper. Very.
Like, she would be embarrassed if her daughter had done that in front of her. But then she did it. That is. Oh my gosh, that's Agaleaho. So it said that Jesus was like, woo! He's like, Father, Lord of heaven, you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. And then he did a cartwheel. They don't have that here. But that would match the tone. He was like, woo! How many of you have ever been like that? Now, here's the problem. How many of you have had all of those emotions in church? Let's see here. Let's go. We've got betrayed.
Yes.
That's like once a week in church. If you feel that way, come find me. We got to talk through it. And we got to pray about it. And we got to make reconciliation and go straight to the person you have a problem with, okay? Yeah. Anxiety. That happens like once a week in church. What if my kids act up? What if this is going on? Oh my gosh, I'm the pastor. And my kid just threw a thing across there and then he screamed. Oh. How many of you have been angered or frustrated or annoyed in church? Not me. You faithless generation. How many of you have been mad in church? Like, are you kidding me? I just mopped the floors.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. How many of you have been sad or had compassion in church?
Yes.
Especially like a funeral or a wedding.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. Let's see what y'all do with that one. At a funeral, and there's someone, like, I've been to funerals. I didn't know the person that died. And I'm like, I'm here because I have to be. But then the person I know, whose person died, starts crying, and then I'm like, boom. Yeah. How many of you felt that way in church? It's like, it's okay to cry in church, right? You're supposed to cry in church for some reason. You're always supposed to cry in church.
No.
How many of you have been in church and just felt like, oh, I love you, Lord?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, how many times in church have you been allowed to run around and scream and dance and shout? Think about growing up.
Kids' church.
That was, So we got challenged at the thing, the conference, to be walking in more joy. Jesus walked in a lot of joy. He had a lot of emotions too. But what Ashley and I kind of realized in our lives is that outside of the church, it's goof off, have a good time, be fun, you know. Do pranks. I taught our kids how to do pranks. So Selah got Oreos. And she took the cream out of the middle and she put toothpaste in it. And then Daniel was visiting that day. And she's like, Daniel, would you like an Oreo? Say, so like, doing an Oreo? And Daniel, hope. Oh. That is not a hallelujah moment. It was myth Oreo.
It was Oreo.
Oh. But what Ashton and I learned, and what was revealed in our hearts, was that church is a place for mourning and sadness and joy and reconciliation and anger, but we have, I'm sorry, not joy. It hasn't had the joy.
Yeah.
It hasn't had the fun.
Right.
And if you look at John 15:11, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So I ask you, if you just scored the winning touchdown, are you like, yeah, totally, we just won. Is that full of joy? Or is it even like the reserve, like, you hear the joy out there?
Yeah.
You should open that door. How many of you, you score, whatever, the winning chess move, the Monopoly, you roll and you're like, I just pass, go. And you win the whole thing, you flip the whole Monopoly board, woo! Or is it like, yeah, congratulations on your loss to me. I'm so glad. Next time you're going to do better. They turn and walk away and you're like,
school.
Jesus said that your joy may be full. What is full? What is full? Is it half full?
No.
Have you ever taken a cup of water when you were a kid? Because as adults, we know better now. And fill it all the way to the top. And then decide, I'm going to go to the couch and watch this movie.
Yes.
And you're like, this was a bad idea. But your hands are full. I'm like, whatever it is. What happens when you have a full cup?
It sloshes. It makes a mess.
I know. It's the worst. And then it's inevitably something sticky. It's not water. It's like sweet tea or chocolate milk. Or. And you're like, shouldn't have filled this up. That's full. Full is gonna overflow. Full is agaliaho. So Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. I want your joy to be full. And he said earlier, God, you revealed this to the children. He said, unless you're like the children, you're gonna have a real tough time getting into heaven. Do you want to hear some other things about joy? In Psalms 4:7, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. How many of you have ever been completely out of debt? You might have to think back to when you were a kid. But you have all the money you ever need, all the bills are paid, you have all the food you ever need. How many of you had no cares in the world? How do you feel? Just imagine for a moment that you're there. Oh, more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. That's the joy that God's put in our hearts. He says in Psalms 100:1-2, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Now, how many of you have ever walked into a room singing? You ever have one of those days where you're like,
always
dancing around the house, you kick in the door and you're like, boo! God is good. And then your spouse is like, what is wrong with you? Like, why isn't you never two on the same page? Come into his presence with singing. That's like, yeah, all right, God, serve. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Woo! Serve the Lord with gladness. And then come into his presence with singing. That's like that pretty laid back, chill. This is not a bad time. I'm having a good time. Isaiah 35. Now, I've said it before. If you are in scripture and you see something repeated, take note. There are times where, for no reason at all, God will repeat himself. And I think it's for me, whenever I'm quickly reading and I see something twice, I'm like, hold on. He just said that back to back. He must really want me to catch this. So in Isaiah 35:10, and Isaiah 51:11. Turn to either one you want. It doesn't matter. They say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It says, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is exact, which is odd to see the exact same thing, both in Isaiah. Boom, boom. What did it say that the ransomed of the Lord are going to do? They'll come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. How long does it take to eat an everlasting gobstopper at Willy Wonka's factory?
Forever.
You can't. It's everlasting. Have you ever had an everlasting gobstopper? It goes on and on and on. How long is everlasting?
The next day.
It never ends. So when he says everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, he's like, it's never going to stop. You will always be joyful. Always. 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 Now, what about all the other emotions we just talked about? Anger, sadness, anxiety, betrayal, sarcasm. How do you have everlasting joy and these other things? Well, let's go to Matthew 18, 1 through 4. I think this is a good way to consider it. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, Jesus like, "Come here, kid." He put him in the midst and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So let's examine the emotional fortitude of children. How many of you have seen children that have been abused, hurt, whatever? Their parents beat them. Their parents do whatever to them. Do you know what that kid ends up doing? They still love their parent. They still come back to them. It's the craziest thing. I do not understand it. And they're still joyful. Whenever I was a kid, I cut my foot and I could not walk. And mom sent me to get a Band-Aid. And I went like this. And after a little bit, I went, la la la. And I danced to go get the Band-Aid. And I came back dancing and handed it to her. She's like, "You're happy even when you're hurt." That's how kids are.
Yeah.
When something bad happens, a kid's going to cry, right? When something sad happens, when something... Have you ever seen one of my kids get mad? Sorry, that's my monster truck. Have you ever seen a kid have something like, "Oh, you poor little thing. Just want to scoop you up.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Just want to cuddle. Oh. I miss their screaming right now. So cute." At the heart of a child, you kind of just drop all of your worries and concerns. Kids don't care what people think about them for the most part. Now, you've got your introverted kids, and you got your extroverted kids, and you got the in-between that have their natural propensities to do certain things and act certain ways. But at the end of it all, every kid wants to play. Every kid... If they say they like you and they mean it, like you can tell when they're not being forced by their parent to say they like you, like they mean it. They're not lying most of the time unless they're trying to get candy. That's where sin comes in. But if you think about the heart of a kid, think about when you were a kid. Back when your grain was full and your wine was overflowing, figuratively speaking, you had no cares in the world. What did it feel like to go outside and hear the cicadas going, if they were around? You're like, "This is cool. I'm going to go track these suckers down." You're having a good time. You stub your toe while you're going to get cicadas, and for a little while you look down the blood and you cry, but then you go, "Oh, I'm still happy again." And you go be happy again. Jesus said, unless you can act like the kids, unless you can be like these, who humble yourself like a child, humble yourself like a child. That means you drop all of your pretenses. And where do you find the most pretense? Church. We come down here and we all pretend to be something we're not. Half the time. Right? I'm at home. I have not had a bad word come in my mouth or a thought I always treat my wife perfectly. We've never crossed words with each other. Now, we're all getting better at these things. We are saints, it says in Scripture. When Paul was correcting the Ephesians and the Corinthians and the Galatians, it says, I write to you saints. We're saints, but we're still being sanctified. We're still messing up. So when you come to church and you got all these pretenses and we're all pretending we have no problems, is that what kids do? Oh my gosh. When I would go home for Christmas as a kid, well, not home, when I go to my grandmother's for Christmas and I would go hang out with my cousins, I learned all the family drama that I didn't know was happening. Immediately. Did you know mom and dad were fighting? I did not know that my aunt and uncle were fighting. What's going on? Yeah, they did this, they did that. Oh, I did this at school. This girl said this, this guy did that. Like, the kids, they're kids. They don't have to hide from each other. And that's why kids are so awesome. You know where you stand. But with adults, we're sitting here lying to each other all the time. Well, hi, brother Daniel. I'm so glad to see you. I'm going to talk to my wife later about how much I don't like you. But to your face, you're awesome. Don't y'all hate that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Ugh. And because of those pretenses, because we come to church, and because we've been trained that we are going to be holy in church, which is good. God is holy. We need to be holy. We need to have fear of the Lord. But he also said we're going to have abundant joy. But we've trained that out of ourselves because we're afraid how people are going to think about us, or how people are going to talk about us, or what we're going to look like. And so Jesus said, you need to come like the kids. You need to humble yourself. And in Scripture it says, we're going to have joy, and it's going to be full joy. And so what I'm getting out of all this for us, the reason I'm sticking on joy more than the other ones is because I feel like the church has had a really good dose of all the other options. And for some reason, we have been slow on the joy.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to force you to look at each other and laugh. That's weird. I get the exercise that Kevin was doing. Kevin's like, hey, we're going to work that. We're going to work that. I'm going to force you to be uncomfortable. I'm not going to do that. Just tell a bunch of corny jokes and see if you laugh. But what we're going to do, what I think should be a core value of Oglethorpe Fellowship is that we are allowed to have fun here, that we're allowed to approach the throne room like a child, that we're allowed to be joyful. That means we don't have to be religious. When you look at religion and relationship, they don't work out. If I say, Ashley, every Tuesday at 3 p.m. is our date afternoon, and we're always going to Zaxby's, and I will always wear a suit, and you will always wear a dress, do you think there's much romance there? And then after Zaxby's, we're going to go to Dairy Queen, and we will always get a strawberry blizzard every time. Because when I first dated, that's what meant the world to you. And because of that religion that's been established when we first fell in love, this must be how love works. So therefore, we're going to do the exact same thing for the rest of eternity. That's not church. That's not relationship with God. So what I want to do is surprise her one day and just like, hey, guess what? I got us a babysitter. We're going to go do something. Does that mean a little bit more?
Yeah.
So when you're at church on Sunday, and every single Sunday we've been laying on our face crying before the Lord, which is great because I love the presence of God. I love it when it's heavy and he's on us. Oh, but sometimes you might feel a little bit of joy and you're kind of like, I don't know, I'm not sure I can laugh here. What will Sister Ethel think? Well, we know it. She thinks she's not even here anymore. I'm just kidding. There was never an Ethel. I picked a name that we never had. Is Ethel like your aunt or something?
No.
Okay. You're like... Okay, so... Here's what we're doing at church. I proclaim that we are free in church. Amen. We're free in church to experience emotions and to be like kids. Yeah. Do you understand?
We've got a fun anointing.
When you come here, you are free. You understand? So if you're sad, you're okay. You can cry. If you're hurt, okay. If you're mad, you're mad. Whatever your emotions are, you're about to have it. You can have it. But what is the kid's core thing? It's always joy. It's always joy. That's how Jesus said we should be. So I believe that our core emotion is going to be joy, but we're going to experience all the other stuff. I really think that's going to happen. But the problem is we've experienced all the other stuff. We never experienced joy. So joy is okay. You got it?
Got it.
Joy is okay. Is joy okay?
Joy is okay.
Yes.
Okay. So in the name of Jesus, I break off fear of rejection. You're all accepted here. In the name of Jesus, I break off fear of failure. Kids fail how often?
Every day.
They fall down, they get right back up.
Yeah.
Thomas Edison had how many screw-ups of light bulbs?
4,000.
If you, there, 4,000. If you give up after one failure, then you're never going to get anywhere. So fear of failure in the church, we break it off right now in Jesus' name. We're all growing here. We're all learning here. Sadness. If someone in here is plagued with sadness or anxiety, that's not your core. It does not have to be your core. It's a season, but we're not going to live in that season. We're going to live in joy. So in the name of Jesus, I break off sadness and I bind anxiety and depression. I break off professionalism. That could be wearing suit. That could be whatever else. Professionalism is this idea that you have to present yourself a certain way or people won't look at you right. I halfway want to do a Hawaiian t-shirt day.
Yes.
Like shorts and Hawaiian stuff. So we can come in here and be like, hey, we can love Jesus no matter how we look. See?
I think that's great. Let's do it.
Yeah. Like, guys, like, we want to break off this. Like, we can be silly. We could be silly. Do you think that... What's that word again? Let me ask you if... I got to go find it. Agaliao. Is that a, like, prim and proper...
Nah.
It's like, rip your shirt.
Jesus is like, yo! That... So that means we don't have to be like, ugh, bound up. Ugh. When you get to church, guys, when we get around community, it's the church isn't this building. It's not a Sunday morning. Whenever we do the 4th of July thing and we have 4 days together, I expect silliness. If there's not silliness, then I'm going to go somewhere else and be silly. And Daniel's coming with me for sure. And Charlie is. I know Charlie is. Actually, I'm pretty sure all of you are. Charlie left me a voicemail singing. Oh, so happy about that. Guys, when we're together, we're allowed to be joyful about it, be silly about it, have a good time. When you just cut straight through the fluff, you get to the heart of it much faster. And you're like, oh man, this is happening at home. I'm really sad about it. Oh my gosh, let's talk. Like, you're there much quicker. Yeah. When you're not trying to have these walls up and you're trying to be whatever and you're trying to put on a front. If someone's struggling, that's okay. I struggle. So, I cancel religion in Jesus' name. Because we're in relationship with Jesus, not a religion with Jesus. And if you're in a religion with your spouse, then I cancel the religion with your spouse in Jesus' name and ask for a relationship. I give everyone, okay, this is it, guys. This was, I give everyone here permission to be silly. I'm not going to force you to laugh. But you have permission to be silly and be free. He said, come to me like the children. Do you know what song I listened to all the way here? That's right. One song the whole way here this morning. The cat came back the very next day. The cat came back. It's a kid's song. It's a silly song. They try to kill the cat and somehow he survives and he comes back. They try to give him away and he comes back. It's a silly song. I love cats. I'm so glad it came back. So I give you permission to be silly. I give you permission to laugh. We're allowed to laugh here. Our core is joy. We're going to experience everything else. We're going to cry with each other. When someone experiences loss, look, we got a varying age range in here. Somebody's grandma's dying in here in the next 30 years. My grandma's 90. It's probably mine. In 30 years, if she's still alive, then we're going to have a whole nother kind of party. But we're going to step alongside each other, and we're going to be here. We're going to experience these things, but we're going to center back to joy. There's a time for laughing, a time for sadness. We have all these things. But in our heart, if we're overflowing with joy, then we're going to have a lot more fun getting there. We're going to get closer to the heart of the Father. So the culture here is that you're allowed to have fun. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right, so then I've got notes here. It says touchdown dance competition, a game of some sort.
Youth pastor.
Does anybody want to do a touchdown competition dance?
You won.
I won. All right, now, how does that sit with you? Any religious spirits got riled up? Where are they? I see you hiding in the back there. Uh-huh. Prim and proper under the pew. That's not prim and proper.
There's only one pew.
If there's a religious spirit, it's on that pew. And it's on the back row. It makes sense. That's how I moved down here, so that there couldn't be a back pew.
And it's a put one.
I know. It's a test.
Call people out.
Yeah. All right. So I'll pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the joy you've given us, Lord. Thank you for releasing freedom over us here so that we can worship you in spirit and truth, God. Lord, we remove the veil from our lives that is causing us to do anything other than serve you wholeheartedly, God. Thank you so much for this community you've given. And I just release supernatural joy in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Father, permeate our hearts, permeate this room. Lord, we ask for joy every time we come in here. And Lord, we are so happy to be on our face before you. We honor you. We love you. We're so happy to have holy tears, God, but we accept holy laughter. And Lord, we want you to have your way. We give our emotions to you, all of them, and we unlock any emotions that we've cut off from you. In Jesus' name. I pray blessings over everyone here as they go out throughout their week, Lord, that your glory would follow them wherever they go, in Jesus' name. That as they stand next to people in Kroger, that the glory of God will fall on the person next to them. I call in the name of Jesus for holy encounters throughout this week, Father. In the name of Jesus, supernatural healing, supernatural finances, and supernatural joy. Thank you so much, God. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.